Let's open with hymn number 282. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity for all my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
O clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet.
Glory be to We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Grant, O Lord, that as thine apostle St. James readily obeyed the calling of thy Son Jesus Christ, we may by thy grace be enabled to forsake all worldly and carnal affections, and to follow him alone, through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
Our Old Testament lesson is found in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, the 9th through the 18th verse. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. And you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi as king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 28th through the 39th verse. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends the epistle lesson. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Look unto him and be lightened, and let your faces not be ashamed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. The gospel lesson is found in the 20th chapter of Matthew, verses 20 through 28.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand, and the other on the left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them and said, and them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O
We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn 470. Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 20th chapter of Matthew, the 20th through the 28th verse. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." And so he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on the left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Here ends our text. Be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, yesterday, July 21st, is the day set aside by the Church to remember St. James the Elder, one of Jesus' apostles. His name in the Bible most often appears as one of three: Peter, James, and John. These were Jesus' closest friends. In fact, James and John were his cousins, for their mother Salome was a sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. The scriptures record three occasions when Jesus went with these three apart from the others. They were present with him. The first time the scriptures record Jesus raising someone from the dead, when he raised the daughter of Jairus. They were there with him on the mount and witnessed his glory unveiled, the greatest glory which the Son of Man displayed during his time on earth. And they were also with him during his deepest humility in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he shed great drops of sweat and blood. James and John take center stage again in our gospel lesson. As the matter played out, one might say that they could have found a better way to attract attention, for their presumption caused a fierce dispute among the other disciples, as we hear in the verses that follow. Our text begins by telling us how Salome, the mother of Zebedee's sons, came to Jesus with a request. Now, when we look at Mark's account of this event, we see that she did not have this idea herself, but she was in fact acting on behalf of James and John. It was a crafty little scheme. For no doubt the two sons of thunder, as Jesus had named them, anticipated how the others would react. And therefore, rather than asking Jesus directly, they had their mother act as an intermediary. Their request was a rather bold one. Perhaps they thought the tie of blood should give them this right. Their mother said, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and on your left in your kingdom." What she was really asking was that James and John be given a higher position in the kingdom of heaven, but she did not understand this. Now, why do they ask such a thing? It's likely that they were thinking of Jesus' promise, which he had spoken to them just previously. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You see, Jesus had told them a little bit about their heavenly reward, and he's very specific and says that this will be in the regeneration, that is, in the resurrection. But their fleshly minds raced ahead and presumed that if there would be 12 thrones, then some thrones must be better than others. And who better than two of Jesus' preferred disciples, his cousins even, to have those two places of honor? Yet they assumed that these thrones awaited them not in heaven, but in Jerusalem, where they fully expected that Jesus would soon reign. And as they always did, even until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit set them straight, they expected that the kingdom of Christ would be a visible empire covering the face of the earth. And they surely wanted a piece of the action. As it happened, so far as Jesus' kingdom extends here on this earth, they were partly right and partly wrong. And truly, they had no idea what it is that they asked of him. Even as Jesus said to them, point blank. And then he said, are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? Are you ready to be baptized with the same baptism that I am about to receive? In other words, Jesus was asking them, do you really want to receive from this world the things that I am about to receive from this world? Is that how you want to reign with me here on earth? And of course, they responded, we are able. And well, eventually they would be. That much is true. But for now, they thought that the cup of which Jesus spoke was a cup of joy and a cup of glory. They did not realize that it was a cup of sorrow. They pictured that baptism in the Jordan and surely imagined a new and glorious initiation into the reign and the kingdom of Christ. They did not know that Jesus spoke of a baptism not of water, but of blood. It was not the kingdom of glory that they would see first, but the kingdom of the cross, the kingdom where the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus gives them the answer that they sought. He said, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the same baptism that I receive. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Their wish would be fulfilled. Not necessarily to sit at Jesus' right hand and left in the way that they imagined and have the place of prominence, but surely to reign with him on earth and also afterwards in heaven. But on earth it would be in the only way that Jesus visibly will reign until the end of the world. They would share in his glory, not with power and riches, but with weakness and suffering. Jesus does not tell them these things now, for they were not ready yet to hear them. But before he suffered, he told all of his disciples the things that they should expect from this world. And as for those two places of honor in his kingdom, Jesus in these verses is as much as telling them, do not worry about this. Haven't I already told you that you will all sit on 12 thrones? Acts chapter 12 finds the words of Jesus fulfilled. We read, now about that time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Yes, James indeed drank of that cup. Of all the apostles, he was the first to follow Jesus into death. For no other reason than he had preached Jesus Christ, James was arrested by Herod Agrippa and slain. He gave his life not as a Lord and Master, but as a servant of his brethren. He gave his life in the service of the kingdom of Jesus. He laid down his life, as was true of all the apostles but for John, for his brethren, so that they would have his gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He could have abandoned the gospel and turned away from the price of blood, as all of them could have, that they knew from Jesus' own words that they would surely pay. But instead, they served their brothers and sisters, the church of Jesus. They served you and me. They whom Jesus promised would sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel became the servants of every man, preaching repentance for the remission of sins in Jesus' name, so that you and I might be comforted and believe the gospel and be saved. And so we remember James as the first of the apostles to die. His brother John received a similar fate of notoriety and suffering. He lived. He lived long. And because he lived long, he suffered long. And he saw all of his brother apostles put to the sword or crucified or similarly killed or martyred for the sake of the gospel. He himself was imprisoned and beaten and tortured. And then he was given a vision of all the rest, of the end of war, of disease, of disasters, of all the shedding of blood that all of the saints and martyrs till the end of the world would receive. He endured a vision of the suffering of the whole church on the earth until the end of time. He saw the blood of the saints poured out for the sake of the cross of Jesus. Is this what James and John meant when they wanted the cup and the baptism of Jesus? Is this the kind of thrones that they envisioned? Surely not. But by the time that their throne came, they no longer cared for all that glorious earthly kingdom that was once so important to them. All those dreams and aspirations they had for the reign of Christ now seemed silly. And it was not just because they remembered their old ideas as so much foolishness, but because they now knew a kingdom that was far better, than far more glorious, far more enduring than anything that they had imagined when Jesus spoke these words to them. They now knew a kingdom, as the Apostle Paul told us in the epistle lesson, that knew no width or depth or height, that no angel of principality or power, no matter how fierce, could possibly take away from them. They had found a greater glory, and strangely, they had found that it was the glory of the cross. The cross where Jesus suffered and died, where he drank his cup of suffering and woe to its bitter dregs. The cross where he was literally baptized in his own blood. And that blood flowed down, and it became a flood which washed away the sins of the whole world. James found his glory not in a crown of gold and in a throne in Jerusalem, but in the same place that we find our glory, in a crown of thorns and a throne of wood and steel. Jesus' crown, Jesus' cross. And when James found himself taken into the hands of sinful men and put to the sword, he joined countless thousands before the throne of Jesus, the Lamb of God. A scene which his brother John would later see in a vision. There before the throne were a multitude, which no one could number, consisting of men from every tribe and nation and tongue. There they were giving praise before the throne, dressed in robes of white, with palm branches in their hands. In the vision, the angel told John, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." He did indeed receive Jesus' cup and baptism, a baptism not of James' blood, but of the blood of the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Do such things still happen today? Indeed, they do. We seldom hear of it in our own land. In fact, most people would like to stop their ears when they hear of it in other lands. But we do indeed have brethren who drink the cup to the dregs and who are baptized in blood. We do not hear their prayers as they go to their deaths at the hand of Islamic and communist and Hindu regimes. But make no mistake, our brethren still shed their blood for the sake of Jesus. Preachers of the gospel are arrested, imprisoned, or put to the sword or the firing squad. And they know this fate might well await them, but nevertheless they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ anyway. And they do not love their lives, because they see the souls for which Jesus died, lost in sin and unbelief, and they know that as Jesus was, they are called to serve them. Could such things happen here? Without a doubt, they could. And they would have long ago if God had not held back the hand of the devil. But even so, none of us are without that cup. None of us are without the cross. we all endure the baptism of Jesus in great ways and small. Not all of us have our blood shed. In our land, such persecution is rare. But all of us suffer for the sake of the kingdom. As it was for the apostles and many others whose blood was shed for their faith, this cup of sorrow has become a blessing in disguise. By it, Jesus keeps us near to his heart and near to his cross, so that we are not overcome by the world, the devil, and our flesh, so that we do not return to unbelief and be lost. He keeps us near the throne of Jesus, where we praise him for his blood, which has washed us from our sin and has made us pure and white. And when we meet our end, whether it is early like James or late like John, the sorrows of this present time will be revealed as the greatest blessings. For then we shall see the glory that God has prepared for those who love him, and learn the length and width and depth and height of the love of God, which is ours in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O thou holy and immortal God, whose workings and majesty are greater than we can comprehend, in humility of soul we give thee thanks and praise for thy manifold kindness. We thank thee that thou hast so bountifully given to the world its daily bread, providing seed for the sower and rain for our crops, that our farmers might harvest the fruits of our land. But especially do we thank thee that in thine ineffable love thou hast provided for our soul's hunger in the gift of the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ, thy Son. Grant, O Father, that we may believe on him with all our hearts and find the joys and satisfactions of this heavenly food. Lead us to his heavenly word and doctrine, there to find the great truths and unsurpassable wisdom of thy holy will. Turn us to him who was bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions, that by his stripes we may be cleansed, healed, and forgiven. O Lord God, grant that we may also find in him the strength we do not find in ourselves, the power to resist the devil and every temptation, and the will to overcome our sins and yield ourselves to righteousness unto holiness. Nourish us by thy word and spirit, that we may find our labor sweet, and all our necessities of our souls supplied.
set watchmen over thy church, who shall labor diligently in all lands and nations, preaching thy holy word with all boldness, that when our Lord Jesus shall return, he may find here the fruit of the Spirit, a holy and redeemed church, ready for the life to come. We thank thee for the blessings of our land. Give strength to all the forces of righteousness in our midst, and overthrow all the powers of evil. Be ever to us our sword and shield. Be thou the helper of all of our families. Implant thy word in the hearts of our children, and thy love in our parents, so that they may ever enjoy the fruits of holiness. Free the afflicted from their troubles and bind them to thee, to the end that they may have abundant life and live to serve and praise thee. O thou who knowest our frame and rememberest that we are dust, as we depart thy house, continue the work of thy Spirit and quicken us in faith, hope, and love through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We sing hymn 269. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, because thou didst mightily govern and protect thy holy church, which the blessed apostles and evangelists instructed in thy divine and saving truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take this away.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Bye.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 384. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you. morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry for the temperature.
I still don't.
What's that?
I was just appreciating.
Oh, yeah.
It's normally so cold in here, but it is a little warm.
Yeah, it's.
You mean it's normally so nice in here?
Oh, it's normally freezing in here. I normally bring a sweater even in the sun.
Well, as we announced last Sunday and made a split second decision, we are having our church picnic afterwards here, and we have maps, or you can just follow the train to the gravy. So, Bible class still following though today. So, welcome, Leah. Good to see you.
Did that rhyme?
Right?
Yeah. Good to see you.
Did, didn't it?
Sorry.
I apologize for the rhyme.
Oh, it was funny.
Well,